This past week, the FDA refused to review a submission made by pharmaceutical company Moderna for approval. No, it wasn't for some revolutionary new treatment. Nope, not for a treatment for a rare illness. FDA refused to review a submission by Moderna of their flu vaccine. Now, of course, we know that DHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a devout anti-vaxxer and has filled the health agencies he oversees with like-minded people. Joining us to explore why this happened, what the implications are, and whether this may be another sign of what's to come regarding health care is Senior Medical Advisor with the Wellness Equity Alliance, Dr. Ben Young. How are you today, Doctor?
Oh, very good. Thanks for the chance to chat with you.
And we'll learn more about the Wellness Equity Alliance at our website, wellnessequityalliance.com. We do have that link at our homepage. And valuable information and guidance and ways that you can get involved as well, too, in some of their important work. Let us review because, I mean, I think we all know, for everyone listening, what a vaccine is. But this is a specific type of vaccine. Explain what mRNA vaccines are all about.
Well, first off, I think it's probably worth noting what mRNA is. And so mRNA is messenger RNA, and it's one of the essential parts of genetic information transactions in all of our cells, in every person, plant, dog, bacteria, et cetera. And what has happened in the last several years, first example of that was the COVID mRNA vaccines, was to utilize this new technology to very rapidly design and deliver vaccines. What is novel about, you know, the technology has been around for a long time, waiting in a sense for the right application, the right setting to deploy. And COVID-19 was that case. And now tens, if not hundreds of millions of vaccinations using mRNA technologies have been administered around the world with very well-characterized safety and efficacy profiles. But, of course, the vaccine technology and mRNA technology didn't stop with COVID-19 mRNA vaccines. Companies have been exploiting this technology to do very rapidly what usually took years to develop using purified proteins from cells and such. So it enables drug companies to very rapidly develop new vaccines to new and emerging targets. It also allows something very important and different, is that it also allows the companies to develop multi-targeted vaccines, literally with a tap of a keyboard. And so for things that are rapidly evolving, like many viruses, it's actually an ideal technology platform for developing that.
So what you said with everything regarding mRNA and the fact that the flu virus, as is with any virus, it mutates, and the purpose and the goal of vaccine research is to determine to come up with the most effective vaccine for that year's flu season. If the production is faster, then you can start later and do more research to have wind up, in theory at least, with a more effective vaccine for the flu.
Absolutely. It allows the companies to identify the candidate, you know, the candidate proteins, you know, much sooner to the time of deployment. And again, typically, what we, you know, the conventional, the Old Testament version of this is that organizations like the World Health Organization and the CDC would try to have sentinel surveillance of the early cases of influenza emerging typically in Southeast Asia, and then try to extrapolate what might happen in the flu epidemic in the United States 6 or 10 months later. So it was a bit of a calculated gamble in terms of the selection of the target virus. And the faster that you can adapt the methodology to develop those vaccines, the better, because then the closer the targets will be to the viruses that are circulating when flu season arrives.
Now, the problem with Moderna and what they came through, and by the way, just a point of reference, for a refusal like this to review a submission happens at best 4% of the time, out of the thousands of requests that the FDA, the CDC receives. And we have a he said, she said type of situation, Doctor. We have Moderna saying, well, back in 2024, we laid out what we were going to do with the placebo test, which was mandated by RFK Jr. when he came on board. And they said, okay, that's fine, the vaccine you're going to use. We're looking at seniors in specifically. But now the FDA is saying, no, we don't like what you did. You put the seniors at risk, they're basically saying, paraphrasing the FDA's response here, in what Moderna chose to do. And they also want, the FDA also wants drug companies to say if people in a target, tested are getting placebos or not. And the FDA is indirectly accusing Moderna of doing that, of falling short on that as well. It just seems like only because we have an increasing number of anti-vaxxers within FDA, CDC, and the various other agencies under the FDA's umbrella and DHS's umbrella, rather, just calls into question, I think, for a lot of people, is that view of vaccines by the few starting to spread out and impact the many?
Well, yes. I mean, I think you described, I think the key issue here, actually, to me, is, you know, it's important to talk about vaccine technologies and opportunities for innovation that might actually, you know, improve vaccine safety and efficacy. But I think the core issue is the rejection of the application. So it didn't, you know, and you're right that it's extremely unusual for a submission to be rejected without review. You know, I worked in big pharma for 5 or 6 years and was involved in the design of clinical trials and the regulatory process. Laborious and detailed regulatory process in the design and then subsequently the submission of all of that data. Those are bilateral discussions between the discovery companies and the regulatory agencies, the FDA. And the reason that that's important is, like, for example, this clinical trial was one of tens of thousands of individuals, and they are enormously expensive to conduct. And so from a discovery, innovation, and investment perspective, you don't want the goalposts moving after the study has been fully recruited and, you know, the data is being analyzed. That's bad for innovation. It's bad for investors. It's bad for companies. And ultimately, it's bad for drug discovery and new medicines, not just for mRNA vaccines, but across the industry.
And this has been a similar action that the current DHS has taken with one company that had a melanoma drug, another one that had a cell therapy process for Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which is ironic because the same DHS has now installed an order to have newborns screened for Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which that hadn't been done before. And I mean, that's a positive step. I'll say when someone is right, and certainly applaud them for that. But with mRNA-based vaccines, Doctor, it seems like there's people among not just the anti-vax side of things, but people have questions about them. Is there a concern that because of the speed of manufacturing, it lowers the efficacy of these vaccines?
Well, you know, first off, I think there has been a ton of misinformation in recent years regarding public health, regarding medicines and vaccines. And, you know, and mRNA falls very squarely into that topic. I actually did my PhD work long time ago on RNA technologies, and we've been trying to develop these for a long time. And it was just, again, the culmination of the right chemistry and the right disease for this to actually be brought up to scale. So my aim here is not to necessarily point fingers as to what the cause is, but there's certainly, widespread mistrust of systems, but systems that rely on evidence-informed peer review and, you know, data-grading systems, and those seem to be, have been tossed up in the air in recent months. And that's bad for everybody. And it's unfortunate because in the end, what will happen, mRNA technologies will continue to be developed and they are, as we speak, overseas. You know, there've been very successful mRNA programs, therapeutic mRNA programs in China. There was a putative cure, or at least the first treatment for Huntington's disease using mRNA technology that went through clinical trials in the UK. And you know, what will happen is that Americans will be left behind. Other countries, the people in other countries will benefit from these things. And suddenly the United States will not be a place where people can get the best and newest medicines, especially for rare diseases and so on. So it's really important to understand that the culture of chaos, the culture of uncertainty, is bad for innovation, both for companies and for patients.
And certainly, it's in spite of all of this, for you listening, it's important to get your flu vaccine if you haven't yet. And the flu season could extend because weather plays a role in things like that, too, as well as your personal lifestyle. So no matter what the doubters say, get your flu vaccine. And by the way, and certainly down in the South, too, measles vaccines would not be a bad idea as well in light of the surge we're continuing to see, especially in the South, about that. And keep an eye out, too, because it just seems like we're seeing the start of potentially people who don't agree with something in science are in positions to change the rules of how that science is brought to you who need the results of that science. So keep an eye out on that, and also find out more about the Wellness Equity Alliance, because they bring about attention to a proper cause when it comes to health care, to make sure that everyone has access to the best that they could possibly have and certainly need. WellnessEquityAlliance.com is their website, and he is their senior medical advisor, Dr. Ben Young. Doctor, thank you for helping us better understand what we're seeing unfold, because it comes so fast sometimes that it goes past us before we can understand. Thanks for being here today.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on the program.